warm welcome to Pastor Bill.
Good morning, Victory Church. How y'all doing? How about them Gators? Glory. Listen, there's notes in your worship guide, message notes. If you need an extra copy, raise your hand. The ushers will be glad to get you an extra copy. Look at all this. Look at this stuff. Wonder what this is. I gotta get it turned around right. All right. Well, fall is here. Did you notice that? According to the calendar, somebody needs to let the weatherman know, or we need some fall weather. How many are looking forward to some fall weather, cool weather? Had enough summer? Everybody had enough summer? I had enough. It was good while it was here. Let's just move on. Let's move on to fall. All right, I got some good news about our college group. The pavilion is up. Do we have that picture? Glory! Hallelujah! That is an actual picture of the actual pavilion on our actual land. So it's not just somebody else's pavilion. That's our pavilion. And isn't that going to be a great venue for our college group? We wanted to make use of the land. We have 10 acres. We've been believing to build on it. We haven't been able to, but we were able to build this. And that's there, that pavilion. It is portable. We can move it, take it someplace else. But the college group is going to start using it. In fact, they're going to have a work day this Saturday. If you'd like to join in, you can see Michael Crames. He's back there on the camera. He's our college group leader. And they've named the college group, guess what they named it? The Pavilion. Isn't that cool? I like it. That's what they named it. And this is for college age, you know, 20-something. You don't have to be in college, you know, but around that age group. And they'd love to have you be a part of that. They're going to meet out there. So this Saturday, they're going to meet here at the church at 10 a.m. and gather stuff and put in the trailer and get things set up. Are you going to kick off the following Friday? Is that for sure yet? If we get everything done, they're going to kick it off that following Friday. So that's what they're going to do. Friday nights out there under the pavilion. And can't tell you all how, you know, I can't thank enough people that have made this happen. It took a lot to make this happen. We put the Perry Plantation Fun Day. There's a lot of people put a lot of effort and work into this. Alexis has just gone over the top, meeting them, making sure it was level because they were not going to make it level. She's incredible. You know, she's like, no, don't do that. She knows. She's something. Anyway, it got it all done, and they're ready to rock and roll. I'm so excited about that. And you know what? Next week, today is part two of my message on storms, but next week I want to give an update on where we are as a church in our desire to move to Gainesville and kind of a vision, go over the vision and give some updates on some stuff, so you don't want to miss next week. It's going to be very exciting. But let's get into our message, Storms of Life, part two. And I know a lot of you have been affected by the storm. We didn't even have a meeting 2 weeks ago. It was the 10th. It was the day that the winds picked up and we lost power. And then the following Sunday, we had service. But I know a lot of you, we didn't have a big attendance because a lot of you are still affected. I know we didn't get our power back till Sunday night. But I did last week do part one on the storms of life, just kind of using what we're facing in reality in on the outside and applying it as a metaphor, as an analogy to some examples that Jesus gave of storms. He talked about storms a lot, and he used the analogy of a physical storm to help us understand there are storms that come into our life. Just like in the natural realm, things beyond our control, hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, earthquakes, floods, storms, there are similar things that happen to your life and my life in everyday life, right? Storms, different people storms, money storms, health storms, relationship storms, lack, difficulties, challenges, circumstances. Storms come in many forms, don't they? And Jesus used that metaphor to talk about storms, building your house, be ready for the storm. So we're kind of taking off on that, something we can relate to. We all got affected by Hurricane Irma. It came through here. And so we can relate to that. And I made some observations. I'm a big observer. I like to go to Disney, not for the rides, but I just like to sit and watch people. How many of you like to watch people, you know, and see that these people paid a lot of money to come over here, and they're all fighting with each other. It's interesting to observe sometimes. And I'm an observer, and I observed some things in the storm. You know, we had a heads up, a warning, like a week ahead of time. We pretty much knew it was coming, right? And then you saw people being affected by the warning. The anticipated storm hadn't even come yet, and people were uptight, nervous, upset. It brought things out of people. I know I was getting some gas a couple days before the storm. I had to go down. I was at the ice cream plant helping them, and I went over to that station, that I-75 in Orange Lake. And people were getting off the interstate. The interstate was bumper to bumper. And I just sat there and watched people getting gas for a few minutes. It was very interesting because it brought something out in people. And I said this last week. We'll put it up here. Tough times are a multiplier. They do something. They make good people better and bad people worse. Huh? It doesn't make bad people good, and it doesn't make good people bad. But it just amplifies what's on the inside. And you see, during the storm and after the storm, somebody in our church got, during the hurricane, somebody got their car stolen. Can you believe that? Oh, wow. And right after the storm, we saw all these things on the news, people going into stores and looting and stealing. And at the same time, after Hurricane Harvey, you saw all these people, they call it the Cajun Navy, taking their rowboats and their bass boats and airboats and going to help people, going out of the way to go help people. And I saw this in the line, watching people. You saw people, somebody was frantic and somebody would say, go ahead, you go ahead of me. You're obviously, go ahead, cut in front of me. And you saw other people, they were getting ready to pull a gun out on somebody. I mean, people just freaking out because, you know, they didn't know if they're going to get their gas. So things like this are multiplied. They cause stuff to come up out of us. And it's a lesson to be learned. It wasn't the storm. It was the effect of the storm. It brought something out that was already in there. So storms are multipliers. They can multiply your fear. I heard and talked to people a week before the storm. They were in panic mode. Now, for us as Christians, we can look back. Well, how did you fare through the storm? What was your reaction? I saw a couple times I got anxious. I'm prepared. I was born in Florida, lived here pretty much my whole life. I've been through some hurricanes. I've been through Hurricane Donna. I drove through a hurricane with my dad to get dry ice down to the ice cream plant in Miami. I was here in 2004 when we had Gene and Francis. We were out of power for 15 days, and I was prepared. I got my generators. I'm pretty much set. But then also, sometimes you talk to people or you hear something, and a lot of it has to do with what people say. And I noticed a couple times I had something kind of like to get anxious. And I shared with you last week Psalm 91 because that helped me push that anxiety down. God's going to get me. I had my generators. I had all that, but I started noticing I have two trees close to my house, a huge laurel oak and a huge live oak. And they can, if they fall on the house is gone. And all of a sudden, I started worrying about those trees. I mean, I've moved a lot of trees. Sometimes I get a lot of flack from my family. They say, well, that tree, that's something about. I got two trees left that still could fall on my house. And I started getting nervous about it. And the more I thought about it, and the closer we got, for some reason, I just start, you know, more, that thing's going to fall on. And I remember telling Rebecca, like, on Saturday, I'm like, I think I'm going to have to do something with these trees. I called a guy that does trees, and he's like, man, I can't get over there, no way. And you know what? And Rebecca said, let's just stand on Psalm 91. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, let's just stand. Let's just believe that. You know, I mean, if I had a little more time, I would have took it out. But some things you just pray, you believe. And I said, and you know what? Three huge live oaks fell in my yard. Huge live oaks. Those two didn't fall. And the ones that fell didn't hit anything. God protected. But I could see that. I mean, on Saturday I was going to get ready to cut them down myself, and I knew in the back of my mind it ain't a good idea. It's not a good idea to do it. And so storms can bring out something. And what happens is when you see stuff, if you got fearful, if you got angry, if you got in an argument with somebody, don't get mad at the hurricane. Use this as an opportunity to say, how do I not let that happen? What do I need to deal with? What is it on the inside? How do I replace this fear with faith and start being proactive before the next storm comes? Because if you live in Florida, there will be another hurricane. Sorry, there will be more hurricanes. And if you are a human being on planet Earth, whatever you've been through, there's more of it coming down the pipeline. I'm sorry to say that, but as long as you live on Earth, there's people, there's sin, there's a devil, and there's a curse. And junk is going to happen. And I'm just telling you. Say, Pastor, could you be more positive? Yes, I'm positive. Junk is going to happen. It's coming. It's okay, because Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He didn't say you'll never have another problem. He said, I'm going to get you through the storm. You're going to make it. Stuff's going to happen. But don't worry about the stuff when it happens, because we had a week's warning for the hurricane. But a lot of the stuff that happens in life, you get no warning. Bam, it's there on you. So prepare now. Start thinking now how to get ready for this. Storms are multipliers. What do they multiply? They multiply fear. They multiply anger. I saw some multiplied anger, but it had to have been in there to come out, right? I saw anxiety, depression. Some people went into depression, frustration. I also saw multiplied generosity, goodness. I saw multiplied kindness, people going out of their way. I mean, I'm hearing stories about my neighbor that I've never talked to is coming over with their chainsaw and cutting up trees and helping me. Praise the Lord. I saw multiplied love, compassion, restaurants, making extra food, taking what they had, putting it on kayaks, down the street, blessing people, helping people, all kinds of acts of kindness. Both of these happened at the same time. And all it did was it brought out what was, and I'm going to use these milk jugs here as my demonstration. You've been wondering what these milk jugs are doing here. Brenda wanted to know what it was. And so I've done this before, but I think it's a good illustration. Those milk jugs represent our Christian life. And see, right here it says whole milk. Green-wise, whole milk, organic. No hormones, no GMOs, whole milk. And it's kind of like our lives. You know, Jesus said, don't take my name in vain. You know, it says Christian. Both of these say Christian. Both of these say whole milk. They're the same exact milk, and both of these have milk in them, bought them from the store, just like that, right? And what happens when a storm comes, all it puts pressure on our lives. But what comes out? What comes out, it didn't come from the storm. It came from inside of me. It came from inside our life. So here's this guy here. He's a Christian, and he gets pressure. Pressure's being put. Anybody ever had pressure? Felt pressure? Pressured. It's coming on you. And when the pressure, look what happens. Whoop. Sorry about that. I thought I had it figured out. Okay. Pressure comes. What happened? What's going on here? What's happening? Does anybody see what's happening? What's coming out? What's on the inside? That's what's coming out. What's on the inside came out. This only forced it out. It didn't put it in there. I said, this is one guy, this is one Christian, and that milk, that represents that love, kindness, joy. The guy that said, oh, you can cut in front of me. It's okay. Go ahead. There's some kindness. I'm going to take my airboat and go down to Houston and help some people. It's coming out. One guy said, it's going to be okay. God's going to take care of me. What's inside comes out. Then this guy over here, same storm, same hurricane. They just live a block apart, and here comes the pressure of life, and what happens? What was that? That's milk. I bought the two of these at the same time at the same store. But there's something else mixed in with the milk. We're going to look at the Word of God and say, this is the way our lives work. Well, we don't keep junk out. And it's just natural because it's in there by default setting, came from Adam and Eve. The Bible says all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. It's not from the Father, but it's from the world. But we get it rightfully because we're born in the world. Jesus said, you're of the world. It's just natural. You didn't have to go out of your way to get that stuff in your life. You have to go out of your way to get it out and to look like this. It takes effort. It takes constant and consistent effort. And the moment you stop applying the effort to keep that thing pure, it starts looking like this. I guarantee you, it's there. It's in me. But I have to crucify it. And you and I, this is the challenge of life, is not looking like this. So what happens when the storm came and you're standing in the line and the person cuts in front of you, or maybe it's not that, maybe it's just driving down 13th Street and the guy cuts in front of you and you say, blah, 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 and you say that where they put all the marks, the asterisks and everything, bleep, 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 bleep. If it was a reality show, beep, 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 beep. Hey, okay, what was that? That's this right here. It wasn't the guy that pulled in front of me that put it in me. It was him that put the pressure that made it come out. And it's coming out of the what? The mouth of the jug. Usually it comes out of our mouth. Something comes out of our mouth. Or sometimes it's translated into actions or hands and our feet. I read in the paper in Gainesville, a guy and his neighbor, an elderly lady, they got in an argument about some trees, and he ended up punching her and getting arrested. He beat her up. An elderly lady. What was that? That's this stuff here. Where'd that come from? See, so when we see stuff like this in our life that we don't like, what we can do is we can blame the source of the pressure, or I can take a long, hard look at myself and say, how did that get in there? Well, we know how it got in there. How do I get rid of it? Now, I want to end my message talking about some five simple steps to get rid of it. Because I don't want to just leave. I don't want to, okay, let's go home now. I just told you all how bad you are, right? No, we want to look for some biblical examples how to change from this to this. Because I guarantee, if you stop doing the five things I'm going to tell you, you'd be a Christian for 40 years. I tell you right now, I stopped reading my Bible. I stopped praying. I stopped connecting with godly people. I stopped going to church and I stopped giving. I'll be looking like this. Because that's the way I looked before I got saved, and I'll go back to that. It takes effort. So, what possibly can be in our heart that we have to deal with? Go with me to Galatians chapter 5, and it gives a tremendous example and delineation of the two types of hearts that we can have, the two groupings of categories. Character is what you are when no one's looking. Character is the sum total of your vices and virtues. Vices are moral depravities. Virtues are moral excellence. And we each have some combination of the two of those working in our life. The challenge of the Christian life is to diminish our vices and allow the virtues that come from the Holy Spirit to take over and dominate, so that when the pressure comes, we look like this. We see virtue. We see what, and we're going to define those virtues from the scripture right here. It's going to give us both of these categories right here in Galatians 5. Pick it up with me, if you would, in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, it's a capital S, the Holy Spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. When you're born again, when you give your life to Christ, your spirit gets born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And His Spirit lives on the inside of you. So if you're a Christian, you have the ability to do what the Bible says the Spirit does and to look like what the Spirit looks like. It's there. Walk by the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. That's the two struggles that are going on the inside of us. The Spirit wants to love and have peace and joy and kindness and goodness. And then there's this other side that wants to be selfish and hateful and prideful and get offended and get mean and don't cut in front of me. It's just reality. It's there. It's like the little Indian boy that went to his father. He said, Father, he says, I don't know what's going on inside of me. He says, sometimes I want to do kindness. I saw one of our elders, lady that needed help, and I helped her. And said, the next day I was in my friend's tent and I saw his knife and I wanted to steal his knife. And he said, what's going on? And the the father sat there and he thought and he said, there are two wolves fighting inside of you. The little boy thought and he said, Father, which one's going to win? The father sat there for a little bit and he goes, the one that you feed. So there's two natures on the inside of us. And you know what? Which one's going to win? The one that we feed. Which one's going to die? The one that we starve. And so walk by the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets this going. This is a battle that everyone. You are not evil because you're in a battle. You are not evil because you are tempted. Everyone's tempted. That's what the Bible says. No, that doesn't make you evil. It's when you give in to it. You're not evil because you're in a struggle right now. It doesn't make you bad. It doesn't make you evil. Keep struggling. And do these five things and it'll help you be successful. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another. Yeah. So that you may not do the things that you can't just do what you please, contrary to modern philosophy. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality. So evident, evidence, is you can see them. The deeds of the flesh, they come out. They're evident. You can see it. When the guy's standing in line, he gets out. It's boom, it comes out, right? So all it is evidence. When I see myself get angry, it's evidence that there's something in there that I need to change. And here's what it looks like. Here's what the flesh acts out. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, you know, fixing on, if I just have that, sorcery, enmities. Anybody got enmities going on in your family? It's not the Holy Spirit. Strife, so what do we see at the gas pump? Strife. Jealousy, outbursts of anger. What do we see there? An outburst of anger is never from God. Losing your temper is never from God. You say, well, Jesus lost his temper. He drove them out of... No, he didn't lose his temper at all. It's very clear. It says he walked in, he saw you're making my father's house a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. And he left. And he went and he picked some vines and he wove them. He didn't lose his temper. Whenever you lose your temper, you lose. He prayed. He was led by the Spirit. I got to act in zeal. He drove them out. He didn't lose his temper. No, he didn't lose his temper. And you can't lose your temper. When you lose your temper, you lose. Outbursts of anger, it's not God. Don't just, that's righteous indignation. No, you know, don't try to make it something that it's not. Own up. You don't change if you don't own up to it and admit it. As long as you keep excusing it, that's God. No, that's not God. Come on, let's just come on. Yeah, yeah. He's going to show us what the Holy Spirit looks like. It don't look like that. Disputes, dissensions, factions. Anybody seeing any of this in your life? We are. Envying, drunkenness, carousing. Drunkenness is a sin. My personal opinion from studying the Word of God is alcohol is not a sin. There's too many scriptures that talk about how it can be beneficial and a blessing. I give thee wine to make thy heart glad, stuff like that. But drunkenness is clearly a sin. Drunkenness, where am I? Carousing, those two kind of pretty much sum up my whole life before Christ, you know, drunkenness and carousing. That was your goal in life, to go out and get drunk and run around, go crazy. And things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things, so even after you become a Christian, sometimes you see those things happen, but here's the difference. Those who practice such things means you're not even trying to stop it. What happens to those who practice such things? They'll not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what I call a scary verse. There's some scary verses in the Bible. Yeah, come on. There are. There's a lot of great, God's will never leave you, forsake you. There's a lot of wonderful verses. Those are the ones you put in their little box with the scripture from. You don't see this one. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's my verse for the day. No, but that's there. It's real. But those who practice, not it happens and immediately, oh, God, help me. That's not, see, that's not practicing it. That's when you slip up and you say, and you tell your friend, help me, you know, and you want some accountability and you want to grow. Practice such things is, God understands. Gosh, I wish I had a dollar for everybody that told me God understands. Of course he understands. It's us that don't understand. God understands. No, those who practice such things won't inherit the kingdom of God. Next verse, verse 22. But, so now we're going to switch gears. So we're going to, but. But the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, now, so he just described what it looks like when we let the flesh win the battle of our mind. And now he's going to tell us what the Spirit looks like when the Spirit wins. And now you can tell, you can see in your life what's coming out. Here it is. But the fruit of the Spirit, when the guy cuts you off in traffic, is love. Oh, God bless him, help him. Maybe he's had an emergency. Who knows? That person might be suicidal. They might have a loved one that's got cancer. They're going to the hospital. You know, you could have that reaction. If somebody cuts you off in traffic, you could just as easily say, God bless him, God help him, as, send him to hell, you know. It's the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Like the lady that let somebody cut in front of her, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, go ahead, peace. Kindness. We saw a lot of kindness, see? The same storm brought completely different reactions out of different people. Goodness. I saw a lot of goodness. I saw that long line of John boats trying to get into Houston. Man. Taking time off work, taking your boat, you know, it might get tore up. You're just going out there, you know, running through obstacles, trying to help people. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. See, we could just as easily be gentle as we can be mean and harsh, because it's in the Holy Spirit. And if you're born again, you have the capacity to do all these things. Gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. Those are the things that the Spirit, those are available to every one of us. It just depends on whether we want to excuse the ugliness or whether we say, I don't like this ugliness, and I know there's an ability to act in a completely different manner, and it's in the Holy Spirit, and he can give me the strength to do it. And look at this. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. That's what we have to do. That's why Paul said, I die daily. He didn't want to get in the flesh. He got up every morning and says, I die to my own will, to my own way, to my own desire. I die to impurity, immorality, drunkenness, hatred, anger, outbursts. I die. So somewhere in the process here, you and I have to make a decision. I don't want that stuff anymore. I'm going to die to that stuff. I'm not going to let it happen. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to say, well, God understands. That's just the way he made me. No, I'm going to say, this is ugly. This is from the enemy. This is not, doesn't line up with what the Holy Spirit in me wants to act like and do like. Crucified the flesh with its passions. And the flesh has passions and desires on the inside of us that are antithetical to the attitudes of God and the ways of God. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So now I want to talk about how to do this, how to become this type of person and not that type of person, how to become the second half of this passage, the fruit of the Spirit, rather than the first half, okay? How to change what's in your tank. Five keys to a better life. There's some blanks in your notes for those that love to fill in blanks. Number one is salvation. Everything starts. See, I can't change my ugly heart. God has to change it. You don't need a case of the do-betters. A lot of people say, well, I'll come to church after I get my life together. No, you got it backwards. You come to church to get your life together. Don't get your life together to come to church. You come to Christ. He's the only one that can help you. You've been trying to get it together for whatever how many years. You haven't done it because you can't do it. You need the Holy Spirit. So the first thing is salvation. 1 Timothy 2 says this, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is where you come into a relationship with God and you start talking to God. So this is part of salvation, is salvation and Christianity is a relationship. Now you can talk to God. He can talk to you. You can hear his voice. And you have that dialogue every day. Come on, you need to have that dialogue. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You need to pray daily. Talk, not just once a day. I mean, all day. You know, when stuff happens, when the bad news comes, stop and ask God. I had a friend, Gates Bryant. We were at his lake place one time. Well, I wasn't there. He was there. I've been there, but this event happened. He and his son were getting ready to move a little boat. He stepped into the water, felt a snake in his bare feet. As he pulled his foot back, the moccasin bit him on the bottom of the foot. Family was there. They all got to, and he said, "Let's pray." Well, there's a friend of the son who wasn't a Christian. He was freaking out. He was an outdoorsman. He said, "We only have so much time. We've got to get you to the hospital." He said, "No, we're going to pray." See, sometimes you just got to stop and pray. That's bad, right? You just got bit by a big moccasin. And how he had the presence of mind that, well, we're going to check with God. And they stood in a circle and they prayed. And he said, God spoke to him. And God told him, go sit on the porch and get a glass of iced tea. Put your foot up on the thing and just sit there. So he told everybody, he said, this is what I'm going to do. And his friend, what's the son's name? Anyway, the boy, the friend of the son, he was freaking out. He said, you can't do that yet. So he went, he sat on the, and he said, as soon as the snake bit him, he felt the pain going into the venom going into his foot. But that where their lake place is, it's a good hour to the hospital. He sat on the porch, drank his iced tea. He said, as soon as he sat down, the pain went away. Nothing happened, never turned black, no problem whatsoever. God did it. Who knows? He might have died on the way to the hospital if he let fear take over, but he prayed. Now, that's kind of an extreme case, but what I'm saying, stuff's going to hit you. Pray before you jump into a dis. Pray on the way. Pray. Ask God. Pray. Salvation gives you the ability to talk to God. John 3:3. Jesus answered, said to him, truly, 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 I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You really can't get the victory. You can't get the kingdom of God in your life until you're born again. You must be born again. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You must be born again. I went to church for 20 years. I wasn't a Christian. You got to be born again. All right? The next thing, number two, is small groups. Interesting enough. And why do I say this? Because it's a very scriptural habit and practice. I'm just telling you things that will help you get the victory. Small groups. Why? Because real life change takes place in the context of relationships. It's easy to come to church, and there's a place for church. We're going to look at that scripturally. But it's very different than developing relationships with people that are there for you, that you know, that are close. Look at this in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the beginning of Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit falls on them. They begin to speak in tongues. They go out. 3,000 people are saved and baptized. And look at it as it, and it says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, so they went to church, and breaking bread from house to house, both of them. They went to the temple, but they went house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Develop some relationships. Go out to lunch with somebody. Go out to eat. Have people over to your house. Get in a small group. Get to know people. Praising God and having favor with the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day who were being saved. It's just basic Christianity. You got to have some relationships. That will help you. That's number two, the fellowship of the brethren. Number three, third blank, church. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 16. I say to you that you're Peter, and upon this rock, he was referring to himself. The rock was the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God. Upon this rock, look what he said. I will build my church. He hasn't changed his mind. He doesn't have a plan B. He's still building his church. It is wise to get in a church, be a part of a church, have a church family. Well, and what will happen? And the gates of hell will not overpower it. You see, I've seen this so many times. People separate themselves because the church isn't perfect and all their indictments are correct. Yeah, they're not perfect and people make all kinds of mistakes. You're right. But the next conclusion, go over here, that's not correct either, because Jesus said, I'll build my church And the gates of hell will not, there's safety right there. I've seen so many times when you separate yourself, you just become a sitting duck. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. He put it this way in Matthew chapter 7 about these people that built two houses. And he says, the rain fell on this one house and the floods came. That's like a hurricane, right? And the winds blew and slammed against the house, but it didn't fall because it was founded on the rock. And what did he say he's going to build on the rock? His church. Get in church. Get into Jesus. Have a relationship with him. Get in small groups. Build your house on the rock. Number four is Bible. That fill in the blank. Bible. I can't emphasize this too much. I try to say this all the time. You need you. Come on. Can I just... I'm not beating you up or anything, but I'm just telling you, you got to read your Bible every day. You just need food for your spirit every day. You do. You got to feed it something every day. One of the reformers put it this way. He says, most people feed their body three hot meals a day, and they feed their spirit one cold snack a week. I think that might be true. Why not just feed our spirit man what he needs every day? Look at this, Hebrews chapter 4. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. How do you know if you're not right or you're wrong? The word of God cuts, it cleaves, it shows me, oh, that was bad. When I'm reading the word, it's like, oh, you shouldn't have said that yesterday. Maybe you need to apologize. Maybe you do that. Both joint and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Ah, you see, because sometimes we judge wrongly. We're like, oh, we defend ourselves. We think all right. But when you read the word judges me. I'm going with the word. If I think I did the right thing and I'm reading the word and I'm convicted, okay, now I know I did the wrong thing. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Number five is giving. It's just a part of life. Giving, giving. Why are those people taking their John boats to Houston? They're giving. Why did people give sacrificially for hurricane aid? They're giving. They know it's a part of our nature, giving. And I tell you, this is true, an ugly heart resists giving. It resists giving. And I can look at myself, and when I see an unwillingness to give, not even to consider it, something wrong with my heart. That's bad. An ugly heart resists giving. So it's an indicator to me. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. That's the immediate response of love, is always to give. He gave what was closest and dearest and best to him. He gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Love is a decision to give, but our carnal nature does not want to give. It fights it tooth and toenail. And that's how you can tell what wolf you've been feeding, is whether I have the inclination to give. Love gives, selfishness holds. Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 6. Give and it will be given unto you. See, he's encouraging. Give, it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. You are most like God when you give. Why do people love giving to hurricanes and stuff like that? They feel like it's in our nature. It's the God part of us. It's like you feel most like God when you never stop giving. And when you see a reluctance to give, look at your heart and say, something needs to change. You know, what I'm telling you is we can change the color of the outflow of our life. I think all of us have seen times and occasions when we looked like this guy over here. Something ugly came out. But what I'm here to tell you is you can change quickly from here to here. And let's quit blaming the pressure. Let's quit blaming the storm or that person that always ticks me off. And what my solution is, let's just change my life in such a way that I don't have to deal with that person. No, it's revealing something on the inside of me that needs to change. Let me start working on me. They asked Mother Teresa when she was given the Nobel Peace Prize. A reporter said, what can I do, Mother Teresa, to bring about world peace? And she looked at her and she said, go home and love your family. Yeah, it starts right where you're at. You know, don't try to change the whole, just change me. Just go home. Change me. Love your family. We can change the color of our outflow to where we look more like Jesus. How many would like to look more like Jesus next week? Come on, we all got stuff we need to work on. I'm not picking on you and saying you're bad. I'm saying this is my struggle every day. We are all on a journey. This is my struggle. It's every one of our struggle. Nobody exempt from this. It's human. It's life. There's two wolves on the inside of us. They're fighting for preeminence and dominance, and they want to. Each wolf wants to rule. But I've found out the bad wolf, he's more vocal than the good wolf. The Holy Spirit is just quiet. That's why you have to take time. You have to take effort. You have to go after that life, that spirit life. So I've given you five things to conquer the storms in your life. Did anybody get anything out of this? Did it help you at all? Anybody like some milk? I do have some milk. Either one. You can drink either one. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't play any games. Your word is so clear that, you know, we can be ugly, but we don't want to be ugly. We want to have the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit coming out of our lives. We want to see that fruit. We want to see love and joy. And we're just here today and we're just honest and we say, Lord, we've messed up in the past. I've made mistakes. It starts right there. Lord, I made some mistakes and I need some help. And I believe you want to help me, can help me, you will help me. If I submit to your leadership and your guidance, you will make me into a better person. Not perfect, but better this week than I was last week. And I just commit to the struggle. I commit to the journey. I commit to change. I commit to grow. I commit to these five things. I commit to pray. I commit to read my Bible. I commit to get in a small group and have relationships with people. I commit to be faithful to my church. I commit to give because these are things that help my heart be like what you want it to be. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. Think so. Hope so. Not sure. Does anybody really know? Yeah? You need to know because the Bible says, I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. That means there comes a time in your life by an act of your own free will, you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. And you know what? He forgives your sins and he comes, he lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that. That's why you're here today. Or you might be here and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I am really not where I need to be with God. But I feel the Holy Spirit speaking to me to get back on track. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. But if today is a new day and a fresh start for you, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Would you just slip up your hand real quick? Let me know who you are. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Today, fresh start, new day. You want to surrender your life to Christ. Anybody else? Pray this prayer with me. Everybody, help them out. Pray this. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come and live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow from this day forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God.